Is good on killradio.org. My guest is the band Oliver Future. How's it going, guys?
Good.
So why don't we just start with the basics, who we are, what we play, and then we'll jump into a live song.
I'm Noah, and I play guitar and sing.
I'm Josh. I'm filling in for our accordion player.
Our normal accordion player, Serge, couldn't be here today, so.
Now, Josh, are you a regular part of the band, though, as well?
Yes.
What do you usually play?
Keyboards and sing a little too.
Okay. All right. Well, you guys ready to jump into a live song?
Sure.
What are you going to play for us first?
This one's called The Reclamation.
All right. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Oliver Future. Whenever you're ready.
Home, home is a goner. It's back on the ground for me. The first thing that you said to me was the last thing I wanted to hear. Ghost, we have another silent conspiracy. The first thing that you offered me was the last thing I really need. And I said, pardon my behavior, it's just in our nature. Pardon our behavior, it's our human nature. Begging on an early Sunday, nothing changes, nobody but you. My love looks so good
plates look so tectonic. Birds look like they know something we don't know. It's on our backs we go. Bells, bells in November, they get me where I long to be. Because the first thing that you offered me was the last thing that I really need. And it's the only thing that keeps me here. It's all right, it's all right, it's all right. Hanging on an early Sunday, nothing changes nobody but you. My love looks so pneumatic and your plates look so tectonic. We need more than a building, don't you know? It's on our knees we go. It's on our knees we go. And I said, pardon my behavior, it's just human nature. Pardon our behavior, it's our human nature. Pardon our behavior, it's in our nature. Pardon our behavior, it's our.
You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest is Oliver Future. So where are you guys from?
We're from Austin, Texas.
Now, that's known as a musical town.
It's known as such.
Yeah. And right now, South by Southwest is coming up. You guys are going to be part of that.
We are.
Kind of.
Kind of, sort of.
We're on the fringes. Unofficial. We've played it several years in a row, but this year we're going to be playing a show for our friends at the Viper Room. So.
Now, coming from Austin... and moving to LA, so coming from one musical city to a city a lot of people say isn't musical but has a lot of bands.
can you describe that transition?
You
can make the same argument for Austin.
Yeah.
Austin's musical, it doesn't have a lot of bands, it has a lot of musicians. Mm-hmm. So whatever that means. Like,
what brought you guys out here? Why didn't you stay in Austin?
I had gambling debts that I was escaping. Someone threatened to break my knee.
That's a good reason.
I said, try LA. People are nicer there.
How long had you guys been playing there? that's a good enough excuse.
Uh-oh.
Oh, hold on. There's a catastrophe going on outside. This is my favorite part of the show.
LA.
Nice.
Siren love. Okay. So how long had you guys been doing Oliver Future before you moved from Austin to LA?
I think a year and a half or two years.
2 years at least, yeah.
And... can you sort of describe the genesis of the project?
I can describe Genesis.
Did it just start with you playing guitar and singing, and then you got Josh to join you, and then added all these other elements?
Me and the bass player, Jesse, who is out there somewhere today, had a different band, and it kind of broke up, and we just decided to start from ground zero, and we... stole Josh from his schoolwork and made him join us, and we said, "Join us or die." And then our guitar player Sam is one of our best buddies that we grew up with, and he happened to be moving back to Austin like almost the same week that our band broke. So it was just kind of like real weird, perfect, whatever. And then our drummer Jordan went to school with Sam in Fort Worth, so they knew each other, and we used to go see Jordan's band play and go, "Holy shit, that guy's amazing." And then he used to go see us and go, "God, those guys suck." And
they really if only I was in their band.
Yeah.
So Noah, did it all sort of start with you? Are you the front man of the band, or is it a fully collaborative process?
It's both, I guess. But no, it's much more collaborative, but...
Well, like, do you do most of the writing, and then
no,
the other guys
no.
write their parts, or you guys all write songs together?
The album that we're releasing or in the process of releasing or whatever was kind of co-written by me and Jesse and Josh, and then Sam and Jordan add their own kick-ass stuff. So, but there's definitely some songs that are just mine, and there's some songs that are just Josh's, and then there's a lot in between.
How'd you get involved in music in the first place? Like
gambling debts again.
Again, gambling debts. You owe us a $1 million, but if you learn to play guitar, exactly. we'll give you a discount.
No, I don't know. We just grew up in kind of a musical family, like me and Josh.
You guys are brothers?
Yeah.
And so you both just learned how to play guitar and sing at the same time?
Not really.
No.
he started a long time ago. I kind of just started picking it up the last couple of years.
What sort of music were you listening to when you first started deciding to make your own?
It was mostly MC Hammer back then.
Yeah,
I think that's what we were listening.
Does that still ring loudly in your music today?
Oh man, I just hope that Hammer don't hurt him.
please don't hurt him.
That's all I hope. And then a lot of, I guess it was just like classic rock stuff.
Yeah.
Zeppelin
and the Beatles, and
when you guys finally got the band together like the way that you wanted, and started playing out live in Austin, were you immediately playing for a large audience, or did you already have a lot of friends that were coming out to support, or did you have to build your audience gradually?
It was a little bit of both.
Yeah, I remember our first show was really kick ass. We've been chasing that one ever since.
We'd lived there a while, so we had a decent amount of friends, but Austin's been pretty good to us.
Was that a concern when you came out to LA, that you'd have to sort of rebuild your audience again?
Oh yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah.
But the good thing is in LA you can play, you know, two times a week, and so many people, it, you know, doesn't really matter. In Austin you kind of have to
scale it down,
you know.
But in LA, there's so many venues.
So many venues and just so many different areas, and, you know.
Well, we've had weeks where we play, like, the Silver Lake Lounge one night, and then three nights later play on, like, at the Viper Room, and it's, like, a completely different world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, which I guess is fun because we're the kind of band that can play both for some reason. I don't know why, but.
Well, that sort of leads to my next question about sort of the sound of Oliver Future. It seems to fall under a lot of different categories because you use a lot of different elements in the music. When the suits ask you, you know, what do you do? How do you sort of compress it into? How do you explain what you do? Like on your MySpace, it's something like indie rock and turntablism or something. how do you explain what Oliver Future is to people who haven't experienced it yet?
It's the sound of one hand clapping. And I don't know. We're just a rock band. I think we have a lot of influences we like, but it's hard to give a compressed answer. Like, it's just like, I know every band probably says, "No, man, we do lots of things," but we really do. But that, I mean, the album that we're like just made, I think, has a very constant theme, and that's like that. Really, the rhythm section is just smoking and really grooving, and like. So there's a nice head bobbing thing to the whole thing, and then the guitars are loud and
well, like
it's fun.
As a rock band, are there certain things that you want to avoid doing? Because there are a lot of rock bands and a lot of rock bands getting radio play, and
right.
It's sort of like, you know, maybe we can make it, but let's try to make it without being this way. Is that something that sort of comes to mind when you're working on your music?
Well, this album was a large response to a lot of that because we had just moved to LA and like. We had met so many of the suits or whatever, and like they were like, you know, "Oh, you guys are great, but you need this or you need that," and there was like,
You need the song.
Where's the song? Yeah. And it's just like, and we tried to play the game for like a month or something. We're like, "Well, I don't understand why we're not signed." And then all of a sudden it was just like, you know, fuck this. This is ridiculous. This is not why we started playing music. And then all the songs started just flowing in really naturally, and that's where the album came from.
So the music, in your mind, you think the music got better when you stopped thinking about impressing other people and just started focusing on doing music?
Undoubtedly. And it's not like
you know, it was literally like a month or two that we were just like, because you move here and there's like the Hollywood Hills are in the backdrop, and like you're just like, oh man, it's really tempting.
You guys are so great if you just had that one song.
One song.
With that hook.
That magic song.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We need more hooks.
And you can be like the smartest dudes in the world, like, or the most indie people in the world or whatever, but like when you have people like dangling that fucking carrot in front of your face, it's like your mind changes a little bit. I mean, I don't know. Mine did, at least. I was just like, well, maybe we do need that song. I don't know.
Do you think you can still get that carrot, though, and just sort of do it your own way? Make your own carrot or whatever?
Yeah, or we'll get a rhubarb instead or whatever.
Nice. Nice. Well played.
A parsnip.
Okay, well, why don't we do you want to play another track from the CD, or you want to go into another live song?
Yeah, let's play one from the CD because I have to go to the bathroom.
Cool. What do you recommend?
Track. Three.
Which one? Stranger?
We're signing off.
Oh, signing off? Yeah, track three.
All right. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Check out myspace.com/Oliver Future. This is Oliver Future. Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Oliver Future. Hey, where can people get that CD? It's not out quite yet?
No, we did a. We're doing what they call a soft release.
What is that?
That means that, I don't know. It means that we the printing isn't done, but we decided, you know, people should be able to buy it if they want it or listen to it at least. So you can go to our MySpace page and buy the record,
and you'll just burn off a copy. And
sure, you know, no, you can download the whole thing on our page, or you can go and just hear free song. I think you can even download songs right now for free. We just want to get people to check it out.
Does that snowcap thing on MySpace work?
I don't know yet. They haven't paid us, so I don't know.
That's what everybody says. I'm just dying to know. Eventually, someone's going to be like, yeah, I got my 25-cent check.
Yeah, exactly. We're like, 200 downloads. We're like, wow, that's pretty good. No, that's 200 songs. And then you do the math, like, oh, 50 cents a song? That's not that good.
So is this your debut full-length album? Have you released other things, EPs or anything like that?
No, we have a full-length album that I don't even think is available anywhere anymore. As far as I know, I think we sold out of that, but hopefully someday we'll be able to reprint it because it's pretty cool. And you can hear songs from that off of on oliverfuture.com. Because no, you can't. Never mind, that's taken down. Well,
anyway,
it was a hell of a time. It was a great record.
Are you guys heavy producers? Like, do you guys write a lot of songs and then see what sticks, and then you see yourselves releasing a lot of albums throughout your career?
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully.
As long as we have a career. I mean, we all write a lot. And right now the fun thing is we're trying not to write too much as a band because we want to play these songs. So everybody's writing their own little solo things. And, like, our guitar player has this thing called East Side Massive, which everyone should check out on our MySpace page.
Just play one of those songs.
Yeah, I know. Instead of what are, it's sick. It's like weird hip hop. It's awesome.
Do you like the recording process, or do you see yourselves more of a live band? Like, is there one thing that's more important than the other?
I think they both are very important.
And fun as shit.
Recording is, yeah, I mean, there's nothing better than recording, really.
Except for playing live.
And there's nothing better than playing live, yeah. Except being in the studio.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about your live shows? I mean, does your audience get really involved? Like, how do you know when you've got a really good live show aside from turnout? Like, what is it for you that makes it a great show?
It's a pretty high energy affair normally.
Our gear doesn't blow up.
Yeah, right. That's
normally
a good start.
You have a lot of tech problems.
No, seriously. we need endorsements. It's bad. Yeah, it's a pretty high energy affair, and normally when people come out, like, they get pretty into
it. It's a little different than our accordion and acoustic guitar setup.
Yeah, there's more windmills jumping more up windmills and down.
Well, speaking of which, let's go into another live song if you can. What do you got?
This one's called The Second.
All right, you're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. This is Oliver Future.
I'll let you start on the accordion there, Serge. Only a game of dress up. All this matters more than I
when you sold me out, I didn't care. 'Cause when they come for me, I won't be that Sunday morning. Oh, not anymore.
Fading, progressing as fast as we're fading. It's a matter of time. Smoking up new things. Dress up, throw me a game of dress up. Oh, this matter is boiling, and it's so. Never bothered to tell me the rules. You never bothered to tell me the rules. You never bothered to tell me the rules. Faded, pressing as fast as we're fading. It's a matter of
always
fucking up new.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org with my guest Oliver Future. Noah, you mentioned before that your that the album has a sort of consistent thematic thing that it keeps coming back to. What are there themes in your music in general, like in the writing, like ideas that you just find yourself continuing to come back to when you write stories or what do you see yourself? What do you write about mostly, you think?
You know, I don't think we meant to, but our last two records have definitely been, the last two full-length records have been pretty political, just on accident sort of thing. Like, it's not like we want to lead the revolution or anything. We're just kind of sitting and watching in horror. It's kind of like the backdrop to a lot of the records.
Does that come from, you know, coming from the blue splotch on the giant red state of Texas? Or?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I never thought of it, but yeah, for sure. Like, it's just, you know, it's like...
Speak freely. Yeah. You're on killradio.org.
Yeah, no, I'm looking around at the post.
You're on
like, man, we're cool. Yeah, yeah, we're going to get ousted like the Dixie Chicks or something.
Oh, my goodness.
No, it's just been like a really fucking crazy 6 years. So like, what else can you write about? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a brief period in between where we did an EP that that I had gotten dumped by a girl or whatever, and so then there was a little like personal stuff, and there's a lot of personal stuff like on the records and stuff, of course. But like, I mean, for me, a lot of like the songwriting tends to come back to this like. All right, yeah, the relationships are fucked up or whatever, but, like, what's going on here, man?
Has anybody noticed there's a war going on?
It's crazy.
How do you sort of work it in there without being...
Preachy
or too literal? I mean, it's still got to be lyrical. Like, a lot of political musicians, you know, they write lyrics that are just... They're so on the nose that you don't get the message because start thinking about their writing process. Is that... Something you think about, like how you're going to sort of sneak in your messages?
It's much more figurative. I mean, you know, like, well, that last song, Josh's lines are like, what are you singing? I always like that as a good example of the way you sneak. It's embarrassing to say lyrics out loud.
Just kind of about, you know, progressing. You know, there's what?
That's what it is.
It's a lyric about progressing as fast as we're fading, kind of this idea of, evolving, but yet still, you know, messing with the same issues we were, you know, 50 years ago.
Racism, exactly. Inequality and everything.
Sure.
Dated, progressing Dated. As fast as we're fading.
Old it's ways messing up new things, or, you know, just, you know, the dinosaurs still running the earth or whatever.
What do you want your audience to get from your music? Do you want them to sort of, do you want it to be thought-provoking, or do you want them to just have a good time? I mean, do you want them to just hear the sound, or do you want them to also think about the lyrics?
I mean, it's both, you know, like, I think live, I'd kind of rather people just have fun. Like, I mean, I think
they probably can't hear what you're saying anyway.
And I think it's cool that you can have like you can have the best of both worlds if you want, like where if people decide to sit back and listen to the words, there's actually something going, I hope at least that there's a little something going on more than, you know, most of the bands that you hear on the radio, maybe.
Do you worry that you're, I know we already talked about, you know, not doing things to cater to the radio world, but do you worry that, you know, having politically charged music is gonna affect your ability to, quote unquote, make it?
No, I don't worry about that at all, because if that's the case, then fuck it.
I'd rather quit.
Yeah, exactly. Like, come on. I mean, we're talking about like, can you imagine if we had a song like everyone thinks of Imagine as like this beautiful lullaby or whatever, but listen to the words, like no religion, no possessions. Like, it's pretty hardcore leftist shit. And like, if that can get by on Jack FM, then I don't see why our little, you know, figurative, like,
right.
I mean, I don't know.
But then I guess you risk being assassinated too, right?
Oh shit. I didn't think about that one. Well, I guess
suffer for your art.
At this point, we all risk being assassinated. So
for pretty much anything and everything, it's true. Why don't we play another track from the CD, and then we'll get another live song out of you before we have to cut out of here. What do you recommend?
Stranger? Which one?
Five.
What song?
Stranger.
Oh, yeah. This one's not political at all. This one's just so you can hear this now and go, maybe it is. I don't know. I don't think so.
All music is political.
That's
because
right.
It's art.
And all politics is music.
Exactly.
No, it's not.
No. Wait a minute. Sorry. I'm just used to agreeing. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Oliver Future.
Truth, I can't take it. I can't take it.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org, hanging out with Oliver Future. How'd you come up with that name for the band?
Whoa. Gambling debts.
Wow, you really like to gamble.
No, I just like debts.
Seriously, there's a thing. I saw there was a thing on your MySpace about Olivia Newton-John or something like that. Yeah.
It was a tragic accident with the... I don't remember. We have so many.
So it's just a name. It's just a way to identify you.
Yes, moniker.
Nice. Now you guys have a live show, a local live show coming up before you leave for tour. What's that?
El Cid on Friday night, and we've never played there before, but I've been there, and it's
a cool venue.
It's an awesome
venue.
So
yeah, they have like a nice. Nice, like, elevated stage. It's like a little, like, almost like a playhouse.
Yeah. I feel like people should get dressed up and come see us. Like, it'll be fun. Like,
well, that's a good idea.
Make it like a prom or something.
So that's, okay, so that's tomorrow night at El Cid.
Tomorrow night at El Cid. We're playing at, I think, 11:30, and there's a band from San Diego first, and I haven't had enough coffee to remember who it is, so.
And then right after that, you guys are off to Texas and then the rest of the Midwest. And
yep.
From your MySpace page, it looks like you have... I don't know, something like 15, 20 shows coming up.
Yeah.
Do you guys get burnt out playing so much, or does each one sort of charge you up for the next one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That and lots of amphetamines.
So you guys just really enjoy performing. Yeah, yeah. It's not like a job.
I mean, it's tiring as hell. I mean, especially when you're doing it like on our, like, I mean, you know, it's the same as the station. You know, it's like more rewarding but more tiring because you have to do everything. Like,
right, it's as rewarding as, you know, as it equates to how much effort you put into it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wouldn't mind knowing what hotel we were going to stay at, you know, but we're not at that level yet, so fuck it. We have to, you know, there's just like so many little details that you got to do and for that half hour or 45 minutes of actually rocking and then like...
And you guys are going to sell a bunch of your advanced CDs on this
hell
tour.
Yeah.
When does the actual CD become available?
It's going to be scary.
when does the actual CD become available, like on iTunes and everywhere else?
It's not going to be... I mean, you'll be able to buy them at our shows. We're going to have a CD release party in LA in April.
Is that the Viper Room?
Yeah. Thing? April 20th at the Viper Room. And...
you can buy them there.
You can buy them there, and it's kind of going to be just you gotta corner one of us or come over to the house or something and buy one for a while, and then this summer it's getting actually released. And I don't have an actual street date, whatever the hell that means these days. But
all right, cool. Well, you guys want to do another live song?
Yeah, we'd love to.
What do you recommend?
Drowning. This one's the Drowning Parade. Get up close on that mic.
It's just hard to play and get that close.
Ready? Yeah, just for the if you're gonna sing, yeah.
They say. But legs won't kick when you're chained to the bottom. They hide mistakes, displace the blame, and we're left treading water. Stocks trade as love fades, but we don't feel
we're
all afraid.
We're all afraid.
Watching a drowning parade.
You'd better dangle the freak show you rolled in the town's pulled stakes. Your carnival's over and left you with morning aftershakes. You're the whitest guys with the whitest lies. Don't say I'm making all this up. Don't say I'm making all this up. We're gonna have to invent a brand new curse word for you. Stuck on the roof screaming, give me some truth that was worth the view. Hear the darkest nights call for darker light. Say I'm making all this up. Don't say I'm making all this up. Don't say I'm making all this up.
That was great. That was fantastic.
Thank you.
I kept thinking of Al Gore talking about Inconvenient Truth and saying, don't say I'm making all this up.
Well, that one was written, it was a year to the date of the Katrina landfall, and we were just kind of sitting around like watching the news and how like.
I think we'd seen the Spike Lee documentary too, maybe.
Yeah.
Or was that after?
That was after, but but it made me happy that we wrote the song. Because we're just kind of watching it like, dude, they haven't done anything. What the fuck? Like, nobody's, these people still don't have homes. Like, this is a, can you imagine? Like, I think like Hezbollah fixed Lebanon faster than we were able to fix New Orleans. Like,
right.
That's fucked up, man.
That is fucked up. Well, it's good that you can sort of like, you know, find at least a musical way to express it. I think a lot of musicians were really affected, especially by Katrina,
yeah.
Because, you know, that's also, New Orleans also being a very musical city, like Austin, like LA we were talking
right,
about.
Right. Oh, it's the birthplace of like American music.
I mean. And so I think when something horrible happens in a place like that, it doesn't just affect the people there, but it's sort of like all people who are artistically minded all over the world were watching and felt sort of invested in that.
Yeah. And that was just such a, like, you know, the
disgrace.
Like, the truth about it's coming out. It's still coming out.
You know,
it's still like these ripples still being felt, and it's just, it's unbelievable. Like,
yeah. I think I read somewhere that you don't really get the truth about anything for about 200 years. And that's when you start finding out what really happened.
That kind of makes sense.
One side's perspective.
We'll have 9/11 all under control sometime in, years. Yeah, right. You know, 2201.
Ah, it was the aliens. Wait, I knew it.
Yes, exactly.
The Grays.
Well, listen, we got to cut it a few minutes short today, so why don't we just take off with one more track from the CD, if you don't mind.
Oh, sure.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Oh, our pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
Should people check out anything other than myspace.com/OliverFuture? Do you have you have a website, but it's under construction
right
now?
Yeah.
The website's under construction. It should be up in the next month or so. So, you know, MySpace is cheesy and owned by Fox, but... You know.
What are you gonna do?
Well,
you gotta play, play the game to win.
It's free, and yeah, exactly, and you know, it's a good way to meet girls, I guess. I don't know.
Nice.
I'm just kidding.
And tomorrow night,
it's a good
El
way
Cid.
To stalk girls. Yeah. yes, tomorrow night, El Cid. We go on at like 11:30, and there's a wonderful band from San Diego before us. I don't remember who it is.
All right. Cool. Well, don't forget to thank them when you go on stage. I see this a lot.
I love them. They're awesome.
Bands go up and they're they either don't mention the other bands they're playing or they mention the other bands that are playing.
Oh, man.
I like to thank the other bands
don't
that were here.
Don't blame the singer because sometimes we've got a lot of shit going through
our
mind.
It's true.
Or a lot of whiskey.
Or both. You know, a lot of whiskey, a broken string, and you're trying to remember the band from wherever. You're like, thank you to everybody I've ever met.
All right, what are we gonna play from the CD?
Do you want to do what do you think we should play?
Just do the first one.
Okay.
Tracks 1 and 2. Can we play them both? It's kind of a
mini suite.
It's a mini suite, a frosted mini suite.
And what's the name of this album?
The name of the album is Pax Futura.
I like it. You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guests have been Oliver Future.
Wasting along, tracked by the scene. I'll hold your hand when you're lost in a dream. Can't find the road, things that ensue. I'll hold your hand when you're lost and confused. Sleep is good.
me.